The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Chris Cochran. Did I say it right?
That's right.
There you go. Okay. And Ryan Hall here this morning from Real Habit Jigs. And got any questions, you'd like to give us a call, especially like some flounder tips I'm looking forward to this morning, because y'all been on some nice flounder, man, big flounder. And y'all got, what, three of them over 10 pounds in like 2 days?
It was 24 hours.
Man, that's absolutely insane. That's killer. That's killer. So y'all stay tuned in, listen in for some good tips on here. Of course, we don't never say exactly what spots they are, but you can definitely just use the tips and find your own spots. For the winds, the weather today, we got for the marine forecast, you heard Alan talk about, the weather and all in town here. But marine forecast, of course, it rained on us on the way in this morning. And southerly winds will increase over the local waters today ahead of an approaching cold front. The front will begin to stall across the local waters Sunday into Monday. So they're showing small craft exercise costed for this afternoon. Southeast winds 10 knots early this morning, then winds increasing to south winds 15 to 20 knots by afternoon. Seas 2 to 3 feet, building to 3 to 5 feet, with occasional seas up to 6 feet in the afternoon. Tomorrow, south-southwest winds 15 to 20 knots, seas 3 to 5 feet, with occasional seas up to 6 feet. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, but today we're supposed to have quite a bit of a chance of showers and thunderstorms, especially in the afternoon. Looking at radar this morning, it's coming. We can see it coming. So Monday, it's going to calm down a little bit. Southwest 10 to 15 knots, and then Tuesday, north-northwest 10 to 15 knots, but Wednesday's supposed to jump back up to 20 knots. So anyway, if you got some protected areas in there, get out there. Best time to go fishing is when you can.
That's all you can do. Better start working on the weekends and trying to fish during the weekdays is what it looks like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I used to, whenever, worked a regular job, it would seem like that was all the time the case. It was like, yep. And sometimes I'd be talking to my boss, and I'd say, is it all right if I take off tomorrow, And he's like, "Wow, what's the winds?" Because he knew what I wanted to do. So I tell him, he goes, "You got room on the boat?" I said, "Sure." Yeah. So
we always hear the "let your pocket be your guide."
Yeah.
That's a fact.
So him and I would just, take off, go fishing. Some of those days is just so gorgeous that you can't hardly give it up.
Yeah. We've had some difficult weather this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain early, right at the beginning of the year, we had no rain, and then started having a lot of rain all during the summer. And of course, that put a lot of fresh water in the river. And after the hurricane last year, we already had fresh water in the river, that was all stacked up. So, but I see some of the lakes are turning out good. I saw a picture from a friend of mine this morning. Got some nice speckled perch down in Crescent Lake. So
that's Ryan's, that's his parte right there. He's definitely
after him.
Yeah. I mean, with this colder water like this,
it'll be good fishing all the way till summertime again.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, we used to go to Dead Lake and Crescent Lake a lot. And of course, my dad, when he retired, he moved to Lake Santa Fe, and that's where he lived at, on Big Lake Santa Fe. But I tell you, as far as getting in them speckled perch, it's so fun. And then, of course, dropping them minnows in between lily pads is what we did, And, you get them bass every now and then that's, stuck around in there and all.
But we've got family that lives on Lake Oconee. And believe it or not, I've never been fishing up there.
Oh, wow.
And that's
good fishing. Big speckled perch. Yep. Stripers.
Oh, yeah.
See the striper hitting on the dock, or right next to their dock, every time you go up there. So, pretty neat. It's a unique system. It's deep water, and it's we need to go. But anyhow,
that's
yeah.
my problem. I don't travel and fish in places, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, a long time ago, my daughter was real young.
Yep.
We went down to the Keys, and I took a bunch of rod and reels. Had you know, a boat reserved for a couple of days because, I mean, instead of trailing a boat down there, you could rent a boat down there, you know, and a lot cheaper by the time you trailer it and you worry about having trailer problems, on, you know, halfway down there and all. Yep. So we used to do that. And but, you know, we got down there and it was like a hurricane. It wasn't really a hurricane, but it was like a hurricane moved in. And
yeah.
all week, rained all week, storm, wind blowing 15 to 30 miles an hour.
That's typical like, vacation time, right?
You know, it was like, you know, the whole week, you know, shot.
It's guaranteed.
Adapt and overcome.
Yeah, one morning I got up and I put on my bathing suit. My wife says, what are you doing? I said, I'm fixing to go fishing out in the rain on the shore somewhere.
I heard that.
Come all the way down here to fish, couldn't fish. So, you know.
Got to make something happen.
Yep. But, yeah, see, like I say, he sent some pictures. He was posting some pictures about the speckled perch. It wasn't a whole bunch of them, but, boy, there's some nice ones he got.
Yeah.
So we used to camp down at Flagler Fish Camp right on the end of Dead Lake and fish Dead Lake and Crescent Lake. And that was one of my dad's favorite places. And of course, you know, everybody fished Loch Lusa. You know, and Loch Lusa was always a good lake. So these speckled perch should start biting pretty good now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got some fish over a pound down there where you're at, right?
Yeah, they get Oconee. There's common to get over 2 pound, 2.5 pound fish. A lot of them.
Man,
that wouldn't be a bad deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially when we catch them on ultralights or
that's right.
You know, we used to, of course, you know, stick out the, you know, the cane pole so we could just drop it in between the lily pads. But
yeah,
I was never really one on the cane pole fishing. I wanted rod and reel, but.
Yeah, Ryan has one leg in Georgia and one leg in Florida here, I tell you.
That's my problem. I travel too much.
You fish up there a lot?
I do a lot.
Yeah.
I like to get to the Gulf, too. Fish
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah, anywhere fish are biting.
Do y'all go over to the Gulf when the sheephead are fired up?
I have in the past. Mm. It's crazy.
I've
never been able to.
I wish they would do that here.
Unreal.
I mean, it doesn't last a very long time. But, and I don't know that they're spawning fish. I mean, because they're not real big, you know, but.
Right.
Like, you know, the 12, 14 pounder, stuff like that. I mean, I know, it's, you know, an 8 pounder can spawn too. But,
that's right.
But,
it's crazy to see the black wave. You know, you sit there, you're anchored out. You know, we use trolling motors these days, which mm-hmm. is great, but, you can kind of bump up, get over top of them. Mm-hmm. But to see those fish eat in 25 foot of water, that's. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yep. I mean, it's just got to be crazy, you know, being that we have such dark water over here.
Absolutely. I can only imagine what it would be like if we had that clear water here. Mm-hmm. It'd be crazy.
I know there was a friend of mine was, you know, down. He was diving and trying to see because we sheephead fish a lot over by Pirate's Cove. And, you know, when it's too rough to go to the jetties. And there's that whole shallow rock bank, you know, it comes way out. And he got down there one day, and he, was, of course, had a wetsuit on because it was so shallow and so rocky in there. But he said there was sheephead all around him. And,
shoot.
You know.
I've got some friends that dive. Mm-hmm. They dive those jetties. They say it's crazy.
That is crazy.
If I dove the jetties, what I'd be doing is I'd be picking up about those, you know, part of those 2 million anchors that are out there.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
Having a heck of a yard
I'm
sale.
I'm telling you. They're telling what's down there.
Oh, I've pulled up stainless steel. I've pulled up galvanized anchors and, of course, the rebar anchors that are rusted away. But
that's right.
But I've pulled up some big old stainless steel anchors, bigger than they sell over at B&M.
Yep.
You know, but, man, I've sold quite a few of them. I mean, I pull them up with my anchor, you know, because I don't dive over there.
I'm too big for a wetsuit.
If I did dive, the jetties would not be where I'd try it.
No, not me either. I've caught too many big sharks out there. Mm-hmm. You know? But anyway, 222-8255 is the number to call us, 222-TALK, and give us a call here, and we'll be back after this.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show and talking about them speckled perch up there. So, did they start up there a little earlier than down here? I mean, or is it just about the temperature?
They spawn earlier here.
They do?
So in Florida, you know, you can catch that spawn in like February. Sometimes it's real warm into January. Mm-hmm. But it's on up in, you get middle Georgia, it's closer to April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Depends on how warm the winter is, you know. If you get a real warm winter, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. As soon as that water gets like 60, 65, they like to do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And that ought to be getting that way up there now, actually. I mean, looking at our water temperature down here.
Right, yeah, it's there now, but it's on the decline. So mm-hmm. when it comes to the getting back up to the 60s is when they're going to spawn.
I know when we used to go to Lake Lucia, my dad had a what they called a cedar heater. I don't know if you've ever seen those or not, but they're pretty neat.
Before my time there.
It's a little thing. You can sit on it or you can cook on it. You can actually sit on it if you keep it turned down low. But it had a 1-pint alcohol burner with a little wick in it. And, of course, you always want to worry about open flame on a boat. But
yeah.
But we would take that thing and stick it up there in front of the seats and all. And he had a closed bow boat. it was a glass par and was the brand name of it. And a bench seat across it was low in the middle where you step through. But we'd put that thing up in the front seat up there, you know. And you could turn the wick up and make it a little heat, you know, make it a little warmer. Or if you're real cold, you could just sit on it, you know, on the flat top of it. But
is that where you stayed huddled up at, right?
Yeah, a lot of times. Yeah, because as a kid, my fingers would get cold real quick, you know.
Yep.
But I remember using that thing in Lock Lucia. That's how cold it was when we were speckled perch fishing there a lot. You know, you stay in them cabins they had. Mm. We got Ted on here. Let's get Ted on. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning there. How y'all doing today?
We're doing good.
How's it going, Ted?
Great. All right, doing good. I was just wanting to say, is there a place you can get some minnows around the Crescent Lake, or do I need to get them before I get out there?
I don't even know. It's been so long since I've been down there, Ted. I know there's a place, there's got to be fish camps on Crescent.
Yeah, I would think so. As many people go there and travel there to fish, yeah. There's got to be plenty of places. Yeah.
I mean,
all right, I'll Google it. I just was thought maybe you might know off the top of your head.
Flagler Fish Camp was the name of that fish camp that was on Dead Lake, which Dead Lake runs into Crescent. And and that's where we used to camp at. They actually had a couple covered picnic tables and all that and let you pull a couple of campers in there. And but anyway, we used to camp there and buy the bait there and everything right there. So see, when you Google it, see if Flagler Fish Camp still open down there.
Okay.
And then, of course, if nothing else, you could go, you know, Crescent City and all that and see, you know, if there's a place around that. I mean, I'm sure there's got to be several places around there.
Yeah, sure. I just thought maybe you would know off the top of your head. Thanks for finding out the tip, though.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that last night.
Yeah, that was Russell Miscalli that sent me some pictures. That was nice, like I say, nice eye speckled perch.
Oh, Loch Lusa holds some big ones.
Yeah.
Gail caught 14 3/4 inch one time. We were in a bunch of them, and she was hammering them. She didn't want to go home. I said, let's go on. I've got a long ride back. I got to wash this boat and all that. I said, no, I ain't going. I stay here. They're biting.
You want that one more cast?
Yeah, I tell you.
She loves a fish.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I'm sorry the weather blew us out when we you and her supposed to be going.
That's all right. We got another. There'll be other days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need to look at that and see.
That's like my wife. She has the worst luck fishing. I could go on a Friday and catch them and find them, take her Saturday. The weather's going to be bad. Fish will be gone. She's bad luck. And she admits
that. Right.
Just got that.
It never works out for her.
Got that fishing karma going on.
I guess so. Yeah. Might be the way she treats me or something. She gets paid.
Well, if she's like Gail is, when you put her in the boat, she will catch the fish now. And usually a red. I mean, she's the redfish queen.
Yeah, there you go.
For sure.
That's typical wife.
So, yeah, isn't that something?
I know. It's,
I mean, I'm sitting over there getting nothing, and she's reeling in redfish right now.
Yeah, well, you know, after my heart attack, I went out two or three times just to see how, you know, before I started chartering again, just to see how, you know, tired I would get or whatever, you know, see how long I could last after being off for so long. But one of the days I took Terry, this friend of ours that lives in Tennessee, she was down here, and my wife, and I mean, my wife could stick the rod in a rod holder and turn around and eat something and be a fish on the line. I mean, you know, it's just
she's exactly.
Just, I mean, it's unreal. She don't get to fish that often, and but whenever she does, it's like, you know, the fish just kind of just come to her.
Vic? Ted?
Well, that's what you don't want to do is set your pole down, you know? I've lost this one pole 3 times, but I managed to get it back every time. But
I know you're lucky about that. Yeah, I don't ever let people set the pole down. They got to put it in a pole holder. Either that or come off. Yeah,
I said, Jeffrey, don't put that pole down now. He ain't no sooner turn it loose and out the side of the boat it went.
Yep.
And I'm going. It had a 26 inch trout on there. We did finally get it in.
Alan's wanting to tell you something, Ted.
Hey, Ted. Somebody just called. Said that in Satsuma, there you can get Manners. At a tackle shop, also at Georgia Boys at Dunn's Creek over in Satsuma. Got that?
Well, you got it wrote down. I'll call you back in a few in a little bit.
Yeah,
I'll get it.
First. I'll just put you on hold if you want to.
I ain't good with names.
Yeah, want to get?
I forget.
Yeah, let Vic put you on hold, and I'll
put you on
info.
Hold, and then he can pick up in there and tell you.
All right. Well, y'all have a good day, and the radio show's good, and. Talk about them jig heads you got working over there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those too and how they work on the sheephead. And he's got, you know, different ones for everything. So
the flounder too. Is he using those same jigs for flounder?
We actually have a flounder jig that's what we call it anyway. It's basically a kill hook and it's a swing jig.
And you know how much I like those kale hooks.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, that's all you got on that boat.
It's hard to beat.
Other than those sheephead jig heads.
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all have a good morning, and I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, Ted, and I'll stick you on hold here.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and so, but just talking about the getting onto the jig heads that y'all make. I know y'all been making them and kind of designing them, and you know, would you call it a swing jig?
It's a swing jig, basically. Yeah. You know, we've got a flounder jig. You know, I can't get away from kale hook. I've been using that since I was a kid, and we just added the two together. You know,
it's always been around for artificial. You know, the bass guys always used it.
Yeah.
With worm hooks, we just put a live bait hook on. We didn't try to invent the swing jig. We just made it to suit what we like to do.
Yeah, and the thing about it is with the kale hook, I mean, to me, they act like a big hook and a little hook.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, even like when we're bull redfish fishing or whatever, we got a 5-aught kale hook on there. I mean, you can catch a, you know, six, 8-inch whiting on the thing.
Yep.
I mean, with a small mat. I mean, it's just unreal how the kale hooks work.
I know Matt Embry, we make a lot for him, you know, just extra. And for his sheephead jigs, he likes a half ounce to 1 ounce with a big kale hook. That's what he catches the sheeps on.
Mm-hmm.
Big kale hook. But
How big?
What is it? Like a
4-aught
kale
hook. Oh, really?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, wow.
And he gets them.
Yeah. I mean, those fish can swallow a big bait. I mean, people don't realize it, you know.
Well, and when we, you know, been up there with the little jetties, bull redfish fishing the past, I'd say, month and a half, 2 months, something like that, there's sheephead in there eating our crab up.
That's right.
And then with that 5-aught kale, I mean, we've caught several in there. I mean, you know, like some of them around 6 pounds, some around 10 pounds. 8 pounds. I mean, you know, you just don't get to catch all of them because they're sitting down there crunching, you know, a whole crab, and they kind of, you know, a lot of times they eat 3/4 of that crab and then they go away. Right. You know,
it's all in what you feel comfortable with. You know,
you got to
piddle around. I mean, some people use what we call our flounder jig for sheep's head. You know, it just, and vice versa. Some people use the flounder jigs for redfish.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on what you're doing. Vertical jigging, if you're throwing out, you know, dragging your line back in. You just got to find what suits you. That's the biggest thing.
Well, with that kale hook, that's, I mean, the ones I've seen is like a 2-aught kale hook, right?
They're actually a 3-aught.
Yeah. A 3-aught.
Okay. And I feel like that's a pretty, you know, standard size.
Well, it's a stout hook, but yet, it's got that small bend at the end, you know, which, like I say, acts like a little hook, and then your big hook, too. That's actually what I drum fish with a lot of times when I'm drum fishing for the, like, 8 to 10 pound drum.
Yes, sir.
Is a 3-aught kale hook. And so how heavy do you make the heaviest ones of those?
The sheep's head, or I'm sorry, the flounder jigs, we do 1/4, 3/8. We have a 1/2 ounce, but we haven't brought it out yet. We'll probably have it next year. You know, I'd like to have it during the fall run anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But 1/2 ounce is the heaviest there. We'll probably eventually get a little bit larger. If I'm going to use a much bigger weight, though, I'm going to use a fish finder rig, it's just figure out what you can use for the area that you're fishing, you know, and go from there. That's the way I see it.
Well, and with the, when I'm doing sheephead fishing though, say I like that heavier weight. I like that jig head because I mean, you can actually feel them when they touch it rather than having a leader on a fish finder rig. Even if you put a short leader, I mean, all you got to do is just push that bait toward the weight a little bit and you don't feel him.
That's right.
You know,
jig heads they're not for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
They're not for everyone.
Yeah, I can tell you that.
But, you know, what we tried to capture was the profile of the jig head on the sheep's head jig. You know, we wanted the fiddler crab, the body. If you're fishing moving water and you're throwing into the rocks and you bring them back out, those profiles are, you know, those fish are after profile, you know? They're seeing the stuff that's washing out of the rocks.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and to me, I like currents. A lot of times people are fishing on the outside to get out of the current because you're using either a light jig head or something. But I like current.
Yes,
sir. I think the current, also I like to sit in one spot instead of like troll up and down the rocks. You can do that to find them. But, you know, usually if you sit in one place, when they're crushing those fiddlers, you're chumming up more sheephead.
They're stacked up.
And so, you know, you can get them coming to you instead of hunting for them. You
That's
know?
Right.
But, and that's one of the reasons I like current. is you know, that scent will go right down those rocks, you know, from being crushed up. Even when you get a bunch of blennies crushing them up, you know, I mean, still, you got a chum line, same thing. 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be back.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President George H.W. Bush, who was praised after the Gulf War in 1991 but lost his second bid for the White House amid a weak economy, has died. He was 94. The World War II hero was the country's 41st president, a man who sought for what he called a kinder and gentler nation and certainly invited Americans to read his lips. The former president also was a Texas congressman, the director of the CIA, Ronald Reagan's vice president, and a great-grandfather married to his wife Barbara for more than 70 years. A slow-motion disaster is what some people are calling it. In Anchorage, Alaska yesterday, the city still reeling after powerful back-to-back earthquakes ripped apart highways, cracked buildings, and rattled people's nerves around Anchorage. The quakes on Friday broke store windows, opened cracks in a two-story building downtown, and cut off electric power to many people in the city. This is SRN News.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars will face the Indianapolis Colts. Tune in at 12:45 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, December 5th, from 5 to 9 p.m., it's the first Wednesday Art Walk in Hemming Park in downtown Jacksonville. Thursday, December 6th through Sunday, December 9th, the Jacksonville Symphony presents Holiday Pops at Jacoby Symphony Hall. Check online for daily showtimes. And Saturday, December 8th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's Toys for Tots at the Seawalk Pavilion at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what Mr. Mueller is doing, destroying lives, and trying to justify what he's been up to, is really, truly un-American. That's not what our criminal justice system is all about. The efforts by members of Congress to actually pass a statute to protect Mueller from being fired by the President of the United States, clear violation of the separation of powers of our Constitution. There's no question about it.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Good driving around town at the moment. No delays to encounter. As for the weather, drive carefully. Going to be a wet one for the next few days. 70% chance of showers. Cloudy and breezy today. I'm going to get up to 75. Saturday night, tonight, cloudy, 20% chance of showers, down to about 70, and the rain continues through about Monday. 64 at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255.
And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And you heard the number. Give us a call if you'd like, 222-8255. Talking about these the jig heads now. So you've named some of them as far as like flounder jigs and sheephead jigs. And so how many different ones that you...
We have iJigs for artificials. We have what we call a flounder jig. It's basically an all-around jig, you know. We just made something that that we use inshore, you know. And it's actually gone from there. I mean, there's people that use these things offshore. They're using the sheep's head jigs and steam hatchie in 25 foot of water. They're hooking shrimp up on them, catching sheep's head that way. They're even catching grouper in the Gulf. I mean, you can catch anything on a hook, you know what I mean, the way see it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you associate a name with a jig, you know, and you try to perfect it in that manner, it actually, you know, everything comes together after that. You start catching fish, and hey, you there you go.
But, I have this gentleman that fishes with me a lot, and he just loves sheephead fish. That's all he wants to do. And but he always uses a kale hook and about an 8-inch leader.
Yes, sir.
You know, fish finder rig. He likes the little bullet weights, you know, so he don't put a lot of weight on his lines and tossing it up in the rocks like that. Of course, I mean, he does get hung up a lot, you know, like that. But that 2-0 kale hook's what he uses, you know, for sheephead. He catches them.
It's perfect size. And, perfect size hook.
You know, to me, I mean, I've always said if I'm not using a jig head or a lure, then I use a kale hook. I mean, that's really, I have some circle hooks on my boat because a lot of people will be like, you know, I like circle hooks. You got circle hooks. So, you know, I'll give them circle hooks. But myself, I mean, I'd rather have a kale hook than, you know, I like to set the hook on fish.
That's right.
I like to do that reaction, you know, back to the fish, you know.
I think a kale hook was actually the first circle hook made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? That's the way I see it.
Well, and, you know, a lot of times when people are using circle hooks for bull reds, when you're using a big bait, like a crab or whatever, you know, big crab, I mean, they'll swallow the whole thing. I use those 5-0 kale hooks, and I would say like 95% or more is hooked in the corner of the mouth.
That's right.
It's just so wild how that happens, you know, with that kale hook.
Somebody figured it out way before me. I know that.
Yeah. But to me, I mean, the kale hooks like that just work so much better. And that's what I was wondering about, you know, how much weight you use, because, I mean, sometimes you'll get out there in that current. And,
oh, yeah.
Now, I don't like to fish in current that's harder than my trolling motor can stand.
That's right.
You know, if you can get that spot lock and it'll hold it, then that's okay. When you're fishing in a harder current than that, where you'd have to drop the anchor, and, I mean, I've dropped that anchor many a time out there in them rocks, especially, you know, before I had this trolling motor. But, you know, getting that anchor out sometimes is really is really
aggravating.
Yeah, and whenever that current's really running, it's kind of dangerous next to the rocks.
3,000-pound boat, 2,500-pound boat out there with that line, man, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when that current's running like that, it's pretty dangerous. So people, you know, really can, you know, the ones that get me is the ones that let out too much anchor rope, and
right.
then pilot boat goes by or ship goes by and washes them up into the rocks.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to have that short rope down. And of course, you know, every once in a while that anchor turns sideways in there and between those big old 8 to 12 ton rocks, and you ain't getting it back.
That's right.
That's why I was talking about diving down there and getting them anchors.
But, you know, just a little bit of the history of what we call the sheep's head jig.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started sheep's head fishing at the jetties, I would throw a 1/4-ounce jig head. Mm-hmm. That was the go-to.
Mm-hmm.
I would throw into the rocks. And I would let the actual current bring it out of the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if the current was heavy, like you're talking about, we're anchored out, those fish would be just inside of where that current was, you know, a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be working the rocks. You know, you could see those fish. I mean, it's just amazing to watch those fish go in and out of those rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So with that 1/4-ounce jig head and a swing, you know, you get hooked up a lot with a jig head, a regular J hook, and, it, you know, you can't snap it out. These 1/4-ounce jig heads, because of that swing, that weight kind of works against it. And you pop the rod tip a few times, mm-hmm. and most of the time, it'll come right out.
Yeah, if you don't pull it, just pull it real hard.
Exactly.
You don't set the hook into the rock.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or the dock or anything, any of the structure.
Yeah,
Ryan exactly. Ryan and I fished, when we started with that, a full day, and I think we lost 2 jig heads like that.
Mm.
Now, if I'd have fished just a regular, you know, Sparky jig, mm-hmm. we probably would have ran out of jigs before the day was up. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where it is. Now, you know, you give and take. Mm-hmm. You know, a J-hook, you know, a Sparky jig, you're probably going to get a better hook set maybe. But what we're looking for is you know, the profile of that jig to look like a fiddler to where that fish eats the entire jig.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it all started.
They're definitely not perfect. You know, we're not trying to say they are, because I've fished with guys and, like, try this. They're like, no, I'm a fish finder guy. And they caught more fish, but it's been opposite of that too, you know.
Yep.
Well, fish with guys, a fish finder's like, let me have one of those jigs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it works either way.
Well, and you know, I mean, I look at old, you know, Fred Morrow. You know, Fred Morrow, he was the sheephead king here for many years, you know, and, I mean, and that's what he used, was a fish finder rig, a short leader, you know, and, but I mean, he could catch those sheephead, you know, but it's hard when you're trying to teach somebody and you only got that few hours to get them going with it, you
teach
know.
Teach them and catch the fish and all those
exactly,
few hours.
You know, and, I mean, if you had somebody, you know, that's used to using the fish finder rig, stuff like that, then that's different, but a lot of times those fish finder rigs, they get hung up so bad, you know, in there that, I mean, it'll drop down in the gap in the rocks and it ain't coming out, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, and then you want people to get used to feeling whether it's a rock or a fish.
That's right.
I mean, if it's a fish, it's going to move. You know, if it's a rock, it won't. But then you're out there like yesterday, you know, we got a lot of boat traffic. There's a lot of people on the water yesterday for Friday. And we got a lot of boat traffic, a lot of waves. You know, and when the boat going up and down, sometimes when it gets hung up and that thing starts pulling it down, it feels like a fish.
That's right.
And I understand that. I mean, you know, from people that don't have that much experience. And usually when they, you know, set the hook in that rock, then it's done. You know, a lot of times you can sit there also and pull it real slow. I mean, we use 20-pound test braid. So a lot of times you can pull it slow and it'll come out of that grass. There's brown grass and all that's on those rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it's in a barnacle, you can pull that barnacle loose. I've pulled barnacle loose. But if you pull it fast, you're just going to pop the line, you know. So a lot of times you could just tighten it up and pull it slow and, you know, and get it to let loose that way too. But I like to flip the rod and try to pop it out of there if
That's
I
right.
can. But like I say, once you set the hook in that rock, if it's set in the rock itself, it ain't coming out.
That's right.
You know? So there's a lot of jig heads up in that rock. A lot of egg sinkers too, I can tell you.
You ain't kidding.
But that one gentleman I was talking about that likes sheephead fish with me, Phil. I mean, he's pretty good at sheephead fishing, but he uses that 2-aught Kale hook, and he's good at it. I mean, he's good at it, and he's usually has his leaders all set up because he brings what he wants, you know, to use. He brings his own rod and reels he likes, but he's got a bunch of rigs already made up with the swivel and the hook, you know, with the short leader. So all he's got to do is slip a sinker on the line and tie on the swivel, and he's ready to go again.
That's right.
So, you know, with the leaders he's got, they're pretty short, and that's what I would use for sheephead fishing myself. I mean, I'd probably use even a shorter leader than what he does, just for the heck of it. Because when I first started sheephead fishing a long time ago, you know, as far as actually targeting sheephead only, I tried different ways to try to do that. I put split shots on the line. I try to, you know, use a lightweight so you could get it out of those rocks and stuff, you know, pretty easy. Not losing a bunch of tackle and everything. But I like to kind of get over there too, where I can fish almost straight up and down.
That's right.
Because a lot of times I'll raise that jig head up and set it back down. Just raise up about a foot and set it back down just so they'll see it. Because you never know when it goes down there, if it's gone down in between the rocks where they can't see it. You could be just sitting there, you know, for an hour.
That's what they're doing. They're doing. They're waiting for a crab to be washed off the rock, you know.
And if you just kind of just raise up and set it back down, and they see that crab, then, you know, then they're going to – a lot of times you raise up about a foot and set it down. As soon as it hits that rock, they start working on it.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, you know they're down there looking for it. That's – But
we got to get out on the water and catch a good sheephead bite on the jetties.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line. You know, we've been talking about doing it.
Yeah,
we need to get out there.
Yeah, we can do it.
That's fun.
We can do it. I've had a lot of things going on.
I understand
in
that
the past few months.
I understand that.
But now I'm getting freed up again. Hopefully this back surgery my wife just had Monday is going to be, you know, working for her, and I can get back out there and do what I like to do, and that's work and, you know, keep supporting my family.
Yes, sir.
You know, but anyway, Give us a call if you like, 222-8255. And next up, we're going to kind of talk about maybe some flounder tips. And
sounds like a plan.
I know y'all have been posting some pretty nice flounder. Why don't you tell people how to get and spell your name for them so they can tell how to get on your Facebook page to see this flounder.
So basically, it's Real Habit Jigs. Just look us up on Facebook, and the name is Ryan Hall and Chris Cochran. So check us out. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and check out those pictures of this flounder, and we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show, and we got Thomas on the line here. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Captain Vic. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm okay. I pray for your wife.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that a lot.
Okay. I was out there yesterday at the north side of the North Jetties, and I caught one 4 or 5 pounder. But, you know, I still anchor because, you know, my boat's not even big enough to even accommodate 2 batteries just for a trolling motor. I have a trolling motor on it, but
yeah.
I don't have enough space for a 3rd battery. But anyway, what is your preference for sheephead fishing? I always believed that it was almost like flounder fishing, the last of the outgoing and the first of the incoming. What's your take on that?
Well, they believe it or not, they kind of change up now and then. Yeah, like last week, I think it was, or yeah, that they were biting better on the outgoing tide than the incoming tide. Now,
okay.
For the past few weeks, I've been catching more on the incoming tide because you got a lot less current on the incoming tide than you do the outgoing tide. And that's what I've always liked. But if you can get out there and find you a place or find you an eddy in the rocks, now a lot of people will go to the outside of the rocks like you was talking about. And get out of that current. And sometimes I've had to do that too.
Right.
You know, if that current just gets to where it's too bad. But a lot of times you'll be fishing, like, say, on the inside of the South Jetties, and then all of a sudden you see that current coming. I'm all the time watching, especially after that tide turns and starts going out. I'm all the time watching because you'll have a couple of tide lines come by you. You know, that little foam line comes by. Well, when you get that second one, that current's going to pick up. And you want to move and get your anchor up before that third one gets there, because when that third tide line gets to you, it's going to be screaming out of there. So if you get that up and go over there to the North Rocks, then you'll have less current. And then when the current picks up at the North Rocks, you go back to the South Rocks and you'll have less current. It's weird how the St. John's River works, but you'll have more current on one side than you will the other. So I always kind of switch back and forth. I do wind up going to the outside a lot of times, but I do like the last of the outgoing low tide and the first of the incoming, you know, first half of the incoming. I think when that tide gets up too high, like right at high tide, I think those sheephead are more concentrating on those barnacles and oysters that they don't get to at the lower tide, you know, that's higher up on those rocks. So it seems to me like the bite always slows down on that last of the incoming and high tide.
Okay. Yeah, because I was out there all day yesterday. You know, my folks are out of town right now, so I'm home alone. So I said, I'm going to spend the whole day on the water. And I only caught 3 on the outgoing. And I was there for the incoming, all of the incoming. And at the very end of the incoming, one of my honey holes, I caught 4 sheephead on incoming tide in a matter of 30 minutes. And I said, I've never caught sheephead like that on incoming tide. So it confused me from what I'm used to doing. I'm saying, what's going on here?
Well,
and it was high water.
And they'll switch up on you like that a lot of times. But, you know, did you move around and then hit a spot where you were?
I moved around. I hit a spot. Basically, I started float rigging because the water was so clean. I started float rigging shrimp, and I couldn't get hit. So I said, well, shoot, I'm on top of all this structure. I might as well go on and try to do both at the same time.
Yeah.
And Less than 5 minutes when I put that thing down on the bottom with about a 6-inch leader and an egg sinker, the Carolina rig.
Yeah.
And he hit it. He hit it violently, because sometimes you don't feel these guys were hitting violently.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's that.
Yeah.
Anytime the sheephead bite harder, I love it, because, I mean, a lot of people do have a hard time feeling them.
You do, because my whole right arm is numb from surgeries that I've had, so I lost the feel. My wife go out there, and she can slam, because she's very sensitive to everything, and myself, I just can't do it. But what was the name of the website for? Was it Real Just Fishing, or how does it go?
It's actually a Facebook page. It's Real Habit Jigs. So we've got a real habit, so we call it Real Habit Jigs.
Is it with R-E-E-L or R-E-A-L?
It's E-E-L, Habit, H-A-B-I-T, Jigs. And we've got a you know, shop now.
Habit.
Habit, like you got a bad habit.
Exactly.
Bad habit of fishing.
Okay. Okay, real habit fishing.
Real habit jigs.
That's right.
Oh, jigs. Okay, and what was your name, sir?
Chris Cockrum.
Chris Tucker.
Cockrum. It's Cockerham. Some people say Cockerham. In North Carolina, I think we say Cockrum up there. They say tar and all that too. You know.
Yeah, because I use jig heads when I'm at the big rocks, and I throw it up and then I bounce it back until it gets close to the boat, and then I start all over again.
Yeah,
but I probably lost five jigs in probably about an hour and a half out there yesterday.
Well, and let me tell you, when I asked you if you were moving around a little bit, because sometimes you know you move that boat 20 feet, and sometimes all of a sudden you found that rock where you might catch six or eight of them off of one rock. I mean, it's weird.
I ran into that last Tuesday on the south side of the South Jetty. This guy and his mom were over there, and they were probably less than, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 feet from me, and they were spanking. I couldn't even get a hit. I couldn't get it, but you know, I'm using the anchors, and you know, I'm 65 now, and it's harder for me. I just don't have the energy to keep pulling the anchor out.
Oh, I know what you mean.
You know,
I know what you mean.
You're right about the distance. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing about these flounder, man, because I gave up on the flounder about a month ago.
Well, they're still around. When was y'all out there?
Just yesterday.
Yesterday,
they're definitely still here.
Yeah, they're still
yesterday
here.
It was a beautiful day. Yeah. Yeah,
we tried to catch it before rain.
Yeah, all right, guys, I'm gonna keep listening.
Okay, Thomas. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Bye. And talking about the flounder, you know, some of the tips that you know, you have different people fish different ways. Of course, I mean, it's been that way forever. It's like that's why they can sell so many different fishing tackles, you know, in stores and stuff, because I mean, everybody's got their own preference of how to do. You know, you can fish here and then fish over in the Gulf. It's completely different.
That's right.
You can fish here or fish down south of Daytona. It's different. I mean, it's so weird how different people, you know, fish differently. But in the areas, but you know, in catching flounder, most people will go up and you know, I kind of like in areas a lot of times the higher tides.
Right.
But I'm not getting big fish, you know. I mean, I'm getting keeper flounder, but not big fish.
That's right.
You know? And in areas that we fish, a lot of times we let the fish closer to the shorelines and stuff, you know, not in like 6 inches to a foot of water, of course, in the daytime.
But shallower water.
But shallower water.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's places where we have roll downs.
Right.
So what do y'all prefer?
I like anywhere with a shelf, anywhere that.
It's got like a big roll down, down deeper water.
Deep water access.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 3 foot of water, and then bam, it just drops down 20, 25 mm-hmm. feet. That's key to me.
So where do you think you get your hits at? Is it on the 3 foot, or is it it's like always halfway down?
It's on the shelf. And when you
it's
when
right on the drop.
It is. It really is, because, you know, those mullet are running, mm-hmm. you know. And when they come across that deep spot, that's where those fish are sitting. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. you know, common fish are gonna be in deeper water.
Yeah,
rather don't want it.
So and when you're talking about that, are you talking about in the river or in the creeks?
In the river. I don't fish many creeks. Yeah. Most of the time it's in the river.
Yeah,
whether it be Jacksonville or Fernandina.
Yeah, because I haven't really caught any big flounder my whole life in the creeks. I mean, you catch some up to like maybe, you know, 18 inches or so, you know, I mean, which is a decent flounder, of course,
right?
But I haven't caught real big ones. The biggest ones I ever caught, I was telling y'all earlier, was in Nassau River.
And that's,
you know, it's out in the river.
Insane, the size you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, and never done that since.
Yep.
Of course, I don't shore fish anymore either.
That's right.
Maybe I ought to do that. I did that wade fishing. We'll be right back.